Do you have that picture ready? Can you flash that up there? I know I'm told you to save it till after I read my text, but if we could get that up there, I want to show you something that perhaps you hadn't thought about. There's another man up there, and he's hanging a sign. And it says it in like three languages. Now, it's none of it's English, but I can tell you what it says. Jesus, King of the Jews. Just leave that there. I'm going to read my text. Just leave that there. In Matthew 27:36, it says, "And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation, written, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.'" Sitting down on a rock, a chair or something, he's up in the air and somebody climbed a pole. See, in my little feeble mind, I always thought they nailed it on, then they put him up. But that's not what happened. They put him up, then they nailed it on. And what they nailed was what they accused him of, so that everybody could see what he, there's your king, there's your king. Let me read this text again to you. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." My message is simple this morning. What is held over your head? What is being held? What are they holding? What are you holding over somebody else's head? What's over your head? Lord, I come before you this morning. Help us to fully realize the pain and the agony and the disgrace and the dishonor that you went through being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that they would hang such a sign to disgrace you. Yet it was the truth. You were the King of the Jews. We ask you to be with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I will tell you, I was sickened to my stomach, literally, thinking about what they put him through. This picture is not good enough, I should say, or bad enough to portray. But it shows what I want to show is there's a man up there hanging a sign. Not at his feet, not up where everybody could see it, above him, over his head. They set over his head a sign that said, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." I don't like anything over my head. Do you like anything over your head? If there's something that could fall, you know, if they told me that speaker, and Brother Baggett, it's not held up there but by one little thread, I'm going to stand over here. Because the whole time this is over my head, it's just bothering me. Brother Consol, I went deer hunting the other day. And I got a blind I hadn't been in several years, a box blind. And I cleaned the brush around it where I could see and threw out a little bait, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to come back and make a little hunt. It's got a big, wide 4x4 blind. And I opened that door. And I don't have time to show you the picture, but a big old snake was facing me when I opened that door. Big old, I think he was about that tall, about that. Oh, he was tall. I think it was a chicken snake, or maybe I was the chicken. I don't know, but it was a snake. And it was crawled up right there in the corner looking at me, and I was looking at him, and I said, I'm going to get you out of there. So I went and got me a stick and all, and I climbed up that ladder, and he was, I don't know how they do that. It wasn't a rattlesnake, but he was making some kind of hissing noise. So after a while, he had enough of that. Now, this is what really, He got up on the chair that I sit in. I said, "You get out of my chair." He got on that chair and he went out the window. And I thought, well, he'll go down the other side. I'll take care of him. He went up. He went up and climbed up what at first I thought was on the roof. Well, what happened was when I built this blind, I'd built a plywood roof to it and began to leak and began to rot. So I went back and stripped it and put a tin roof over it. Well, it left a space about like this. And he went up that blind and got in that space. Now, that didn't trouble me so much, but there was a hole where that had rottened out, that plywood, right over my seat. And I could see him up in that hole. I didn't want to hunt that blind because there was something over my head. I almost started. I said, well, it's just a chicken snake. I said, hey, he might follow me about dark. So I got some wasp spray, and I said, see if you like this, pal. I said, well, I'll leave it. Maybe I'll run him off. But my point is, it makes you uncomfortable when people or anything is over you and over your head. Jesus was really never noticed much as he grew up. We have one account at 12 years old where he's talking to doctors and lawyers and answering their questions and asking them questions. But outside of that, we don't hear of anything until he's about 30 years old. And he didn't have a microphone like I have, but he had a voice. And he had a precursor named John the Baptist that said he was a voice, make straight his way, and prepared the way for their king and prepared the way for Christ to come. And so when he came, he began to do miracles first privately and the water and the wine. And, you know, that was a kind of a private thing. And then he told others, don't tell anybody. But the day came, he was exposed to the world as to this great miracle working power that he had. And as long as he was quiet, nobody had anything to say about him. I have learned that's exactly right. As long as I wasn't saying anything, I wasn't preaching, I didn't have a microphone, everybody liked me. But once I got a microphone, once I started talking, once I started rendering my thoughts and opinion, then I started creating enemies. I don't think everybody hates me, but people begin to form opinions about you as soon as you are seen in the eye. And they will, you know what they will do? It's a discounting method. That's, you know, it's the way people evaluate others. Can I spend a little time this morning and tell you how we evaluate people? You start at perfect, and you work your way down. And it's not long before you realize no one is perfect. And you start depreciating them with this value. It's like when someone goes to sell, like I had a dental practice one time, and I was talking about selling my dental practice. And so it was worth a certain amount. But they depreciated because most of my clients came from this city. They depreciated because some of them were on welfare. And they depreciated because some of them were on Medicare. And by the time they got through, it was almost worthless. And that's what people do to you. They start out that realizing there's nobody perfect. By the time they look you over and they talk about you and they say, well, you know, I don't like the way she fixes her hair. I just don't really like it. You know, that Brother Petrie, he's just... And by the time they... And the whole time they think they're doing this for themselves. They think they're building themselves up by tearing you down. But that's not how it works. That's how it works in the world. That's what the world does. And so we have this depreciating way of trying to find something to hold over your head. And that's why people come to church here. In fact, when he and his wife came, I was told by someone, you better watch them with a capital watch. It's okay if I tell that, huh? And I'm still watching him. And I said, brother, I said, this is what I said. I said, listen, I don't care. But tell me one thing they did that I need to watch them. And he, you know what he said? Well, I don't really know anything, but I'm telling you, you better watch them. So when people come here from other places, I'm not interested in what somebody's holding over your head. I take everybody just as fresh and just as new, and maybe you were wrong over there. Can't you repent and start over? Can't we start afresh again? I mean, do I have to hold this over your head because I know this? I don't want to know that garbage. If God forgives you, who am I to hold it over your head? And so they tried with Jesus to find one fault in him that they could hold this over his head, that he could not possibly be the Son of God. Because look. And so Paul instructed the church of Corinth, who was a very critical bunch of people. They were really big in the gifts, and Paul had to kind of correct them with this overzealousness that they had, but they were yet critical with each other. And so he said, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. And so if you did wrong to him and he forgives you, I forgive you too. Why would I hold it against you when it's not me you did it to, it's him? So if you forgive him, I forgive him too. And you know why? He says, because I forgave them in the person of Christ. Just as Christ forgave me, I forgive you. And this is what he said, lest Satan get an advantage of us, the church. Lest Satan get an advantage of the church. Because if we can't forgive each other, what good is church? Where we're supposed to be Christians. And here we are holding things over other people's heads as if you don't have any baggage. And Satan gets an advantage in the church by holding stuff over people's heads. No matter how long ago it happened, some people will always bring it up. Can you say amen? They'll do anything. Before you hire them, you need to talk to me. Before you marry him, you need to. Before you go over there, you need to. Before you go to that church, you need to. I read a scripture that said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Hallelujah. And people use this stuff as weapons. They sought to find a weapon, some arsenal to use against Jesus that they might have an advantage over him. Even Simon, the one that the leper that had a feast or a dinner at his house. He brings Jesus to his house. And when he comes in, he doesn't wash his feet. He doesn't anoint him with oil. He doesn't do the things that normally a guest would do. He just said, like, sit over there, Jesus. We'll be with you after a while. In comes this woman, a woman of the street, if you will, a woman of the world, burst in and she's crying at his feet and weeping. And they said, do you want us to thrust her away? He said, leave her alone. She's doing what she can do. And then over on the corner, the same one that invited him to the house said, if that guy was a prophet, he would know that that's a sinner. The same people that can invite you to do things are the same ones. They say, oh, yeah, I thought so. I know you can't say amen too loud this morning, but it's the truth anyway. They said, this is the man that sits and eats with sinners and with publicans. Oh, his disciples don't fast. They don't pray. How come your disciples don't wash their head? They were looking for something to hold over his head why he could not be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Redeemer of mankind. Oh, he breaks the Sabbath. Healing somebody. We don't allow. We have a law. And they never could. Every time they'd almost look like they'd get him, he said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Well, your disciples don't pray and fast. The day will come when they will. But why should they do that when the bridegroom is with them? And he had an answer. He had an answer for every one of them. But after about 3.5 years, they found nothing until they bring him into Pilate's judgment hall. Picking the conversation up in Matthew 27 and 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asks him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. He had an answer for all the others. But now we get to this. And they're trying to find something to put over his head. And they say, are you the King of the Jews? He said, you said it. You said it. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. I'm going to inject this right here. If anybody ever gets picked up, whether you're right or you're wrong, if you ever get picked up by the police, the sheriff's department, or any kind of authority, remain silent. Do you hear me? Remain silent. They tell you, you have the right to remain silent. Remain silent. You got to collect your thoughts, get them together. Because if you don't, they'll bleed stuff you won't, can't retract. And in their minds, he was guilty because he didn't answer them. Sometimes we think that some people are okay because God doesn't do anything to them, as if he's for what's going on. Oh, but the Bible says he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is just, and just to recompense everybody for what they do wrong. So sometimes his slowness of what we think is not a condoning what's going on. And so in his silence, it looked like he was guilty. But Pilate answered the people saying, "Will you have me release the king of the Jews or a robber named Barabbas?" And they said, "Release us the robber." For at that time, one man would be released. It's kind of like when the president goes out, he gets to pardon people, believe it or not. Whether they're right or wrong or murderers or what, he gets to pardon some people. And once a year, they would pardon somebody. And they said, "Shall I release the king or shall I release the robber?" And they said, "Release the robber, crucify the king." Oh, I began to get sick because there was so much envy and hatred for him, and the robber that was guilty was set free, and my man, my God, my Jesus, he's going to go to Calvary. And it's hard to explain sometimes why bad things happen to good people. And the Bible says that the soldiers led him away, and they called Praetorium, which was the quarters of the headquarters of the governor. And the Bible says, I read it, and they called together the whole band. They got all the infantry there. They got all the soldiers there. And they put a purple robe on him. And they took a vine of thorns and weaved it and made a crown for the king and put a crown of thorns on his head. And they began to salute him. "Hail, King of the Jews." Hail. Are you getting the picture of Jesus Christ walking down an aisle with purple robe, and they dressed him as if he was a royalty and a crown of blood coming down. The Bible says they smote him on the head with reeds. What was on his head? A crown of thorns. And the thorns would just dig into his head as they would smite it. Hail, King of the Jews. Spit upon him. Bowing on their knees, they worshiped him as he went by. They mocked him, and when they were through with the mocking, the Bible says they took the garment off and put his own clothes back on. Then we catch this in Mark 15 and 26. And the superscription of his accusation, which I read another gospel, this is out of Mark, was written over or over his head, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, and one on the right and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled. Wow, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which saith, "He was numbered with the transgressors." 1, 2, 3 on the cross. The chief priests of the Jews goes back to Pilate. And they take this superscription, this sign that Pilate had made. And he had this tacked up over his head. Again, once he was up, somebody climbed a pole, a ladder or something. And while he's on the cross, he's nailing or fastening this sign to what his accusation was. So everybody could laugh and make fun of the king that's on the cross. Well, the elders looked at it. They said, wait a minute. Go back and take that down and write that he said he was King of the Jews. He didn't say that. And Pilate knew it. He asked him, "Art thou King of the Jews?" He said, "Thou sayest." And he said, "What I have written, I have written." And they left that up there until they get him off of the cross. These chief priests are at the bottom of the cross, sitting there mocking him and laughing at him. And they even said, "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend from the cross that we may see and believe." I'll believe it if he'll come up. Others he could save, but himself he cannot. At his head was the superscription, King of the Jews. And at his feet is his mother, Mary's boy, caught between heaven and earth. And a few other people standing there with him. And I made a note and I said, it's amazing how few people support you when it looks like you're in over your head. I don't know that y'all understand that. They're with you all the way until it looks like you're in over your head. And then they have comments like, I don't want to get involved. I have a wife. I have a family. I have a brother. I don't want to lose any money on this situation, you know. I might lose my job over this. And they're with you till you're in over your head. But they're afraid you may drag them into it. Aren't you one of them? No. I don't know who he is. I never met that man before in my life. Peter saw when they bound him, he's in over his head. This is it, and this is where I leave. You want a pastor that'll leave you when you're in over your head? You want me to cut and run when you're in over your head? Well, neither should we, with brothers and sisters. Cut and run when somebody gets in over their head. We should support them and help them and nurture them. The Bible says them that are weak need to be supported by them that are strong until they get strong again. Yeah, I don't think I want to get involved with that. I don't know him. They might ask me some more questions. I'm going to leave. I won't get involved. I'm glad that God said he'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. But now, watch Mark 15:33. Y'all still with me this morning? All right, Mark 15:33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land. There was something above their superscription. There was a higher power than what they wrote. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord of all, his eyes go to and fro upon the earth, and he is above all, and I'm glad he's in all too. Hallelujah. It was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, and while they were holding Jesus hostage to the cross, it became dark, and he said these words, "It is finished." It's finished. And when he said it's finished, the earth began to quake. Rocks began to break. And in the midst of the darkness, the light began to dawn on some of them. Surely he was the Son of God. We have crucified the King of Glory. And it's only in your darkness, my brothers and sisters, where the light can shine. I'm sorry, I don't know any other way to say it. But it's in the midst of those moments of the darkness is where God is still God. And God is still looking. And God still knows. And God is still in control. It's in those times you've got to realize that what's over your head, there's something over that. Hallelujah. As they come this morning, I tell you, there's nothing quite like the feeling of being into something over your head. I wouldn't ask for a show of hands, but I can assure you, all of us have gotten to a point in life under circumstances and situations you go, I'm in over my head. Meaning, I don't know what to do from here. I don't know how to handle it from here. It's almost like throwing a man who can't swim in deep water. It doesn't matter. If it's 10 foot deep, he drowns the same as if it was 100 feet deep. It doesn't matter. He's in over his head. And it's a terrible thing to feel overwhelmed by circumstances and things and pressure. It's like the lady said one time to Elisha, she said, man of God, the creditors are coming, and they're coming to take my two boys because I'm in over my head. My husband died. You know he's a faithful man. He's one of the sons of the prophets, and you know he was a godly man, but I'm in over my head. Let me tell you, you can be living for God and have situations I'm in over my head. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, I said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Lead me to that rock that's higher than my situation. Lead me past my situation to a one that can look down upon and understand what I'm going through. Because you can't understand what other people are going through. You don't know. But he knows. I feel like this morning somebody's being held hostage to something that's being held over their head. Maybe it's a false accusation, an accident that happened somewhere along the way of the road or something of that nature. Maybe it's creditors and things. Maybe your finances are less than perfect and you're feeling like, how did I do this? I got in over my head. Maybe it's an illness that's out of your control and they can't even find it. She's talking about the doctor helped you. I want to know that young man's going to get better. I believe that God's going to honor that prayer you brought that boy up this morning. I believe that. But when you don't know what to do, you feel like you're in over your head. But this morning it's time to climb over what's over you. I'm not going to stay under that snake. We're going to get rid of that pal. I'm going to go back to that blind, but I'm going to go back and he's not going to be there one way or another. I'm going to get this thing off of me. And you can't live with something fixing to fall on you. You've got to get it fixed. And the way you get it fixed is get above it. Get above it. Hallelujah. Because there's always somebody going to say, watch that guy right there. There's always going to say, you know, I can tell you some stuff about her right there. If you just knew what I knew, you'd never let her. You know that lady? She looks sweet sitting there all wrapped in swaddling clothes. But I'm going to tell you, she's not near as sweet as she's acting like. If you just knew. There's always somebody gonna hold something over your head. Just hold on. It ain't finished, honey. Bible says, judge no man before it's time. We judge each other before death. Wrong. He may get it right before it's over with. And then all the stuff you said, you're the guilty one. Yes, sir, you're the guilty one. Holding things over people's heads. The Pharisees caught this woman in the very act of adultery. No. It wasn't just heard about it. let's put two or three guys together. We'll lie. No, it's the very act. Where's he at? Where's the guy at that she was with? That's what I want to know. But they brought her to Jesus to condemn her. Threw her down. Got them stones, you know. Hold that over her head. We caught this woman in the very act of adultery. What do you say? He that's without sin, you don't have nothing over your head? You go ahead. Hit her. And before he could raise up, they were gone. Because there was something over their head too. And while you can say about there's something over your head too. And when Jesus looked at her, he said, neither do I hold it over your head. That's pretty bad stuff. Catch someone in the very act. He said, neither do I. Go thy way and sin no more. As you stand this morning, I tell you, David said, fret not thyself because of evil. Fret not thyself. Don't worry about other people holding things over your head. People say, I've heard this so many times and perhaps been guilty myself. Well, let's drop it. Let's just drop it, okay? We'll just drop it, brother. We had that argument and all that, but we just drop it. I know we didn't, but let's just drop it, okay? Let's shake on that. Okay. Praise the Lord. And the next time I'm mad at him, you remember that time you did, Joker, you? I didn't drop it. It's right here. Right here. It's right here. And as long as I know what you don't know, I hold that over his head and I manipulate him. Well, you know what? There's stuff over my head too. I've been in over my head before. Hallelujah. I don't think Jesus shot too many ducks, but I was in over my head one time. And if people look back, I remember 40 years ago, he was the biggest outlaw. Well, that's good. That was 40 years ago. That's great. You understand what I'm trying to teach y'all? So if we drop it, Paul said, if you forgive her, I'm going to forgive her. Because I don't want Satan to have an advantage over us. The church is the place where we forgive each other. Hallelujah. It's not the place where we have this discounting method of who we're going to get to sing, who we're going to get to that. And if you let this one do that, then you better let that one do that. And if you let them do that, then you better let this one do that. Forget all that stuff. And let's live for God. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Because He's forgiven you too. Hallelujah. So this morning, I just believe. I want you to come, everybody come, because I don't want to single anybody out. But if you feel like there's something kind of hanging over your head, just something you're worried about that you just don't know how to handle that situation, I want to lead you to the rock that's over that. Hallelujah. I want to lead you to the rock that's higher than what's over your head. As they sing this morning, bring your cares with you and cast them at His feet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.